will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tough Things First podcast, where we pick the brain of Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Mr. Ray Zinn. And I think today is going to be an interesting topic, at least for me, because we're going to talk about toxic corporate cultures. And I have been in my share of those in my past. My name is Guy Smith. I'm your host today. And with us again, as always, Mr. Ray Zinn. How are you, sir?
Well, we're doing fine. It's a beautiful day outside. Yesterday, it was kind of funny. I had a tom turkey gobbling around my yard, which was a first for me. That was kind of interesting to see him wander around. My wife said, oh, early Thanksgiving.
Well, when I finally left Silicon Valley and went out to North Carolina, I've got turkeys and black bears and all sorts of things roaming around in my front yard. It's a veritable zoo out there. Let's talk about the zoo of toxic corporate cultures, because, boy, those places can seem like a dog-eat-dog world. What I'm really curious about, more than anything else, is what causes a toxic culture to develop? I mean, what are the seeds, and how do those seeds grow to the point where an organization is just all about backbiting and all the negative things that make organizations not work well?
I'd say in one word, it's apathy toward having a corporate culture. So, it's going to, like a stream, it's going to seek the path of least resistance. And so when you talk about apathy toward a corporate culture, just letting whatever culture is dominant prevail. And that's a sad thing. So it's become more of a, you know, live and let live kind of mentality, or work and let work, as you would.
You know, that's an interesting contrast there, because I've studied a little criminology in my past. I know that in certain inner city subcultures, there is a complete apathy towards the community, towards your fellow man. And I think you're onto something here. Once that apathy settles in, then it becomes the norm and no one cares enough to try to improve the situation.
Well, it's apathy toward obeying the law. Okay. So, you know, anytime you have apathy toward anything, apathy toward quality, apathy toward service, apathy toward allegiance, apathy toward loyalty, apathy toward country, apathy toward anything, it's going to become toxic.
Well, and that may explain a little bit about our current political conundrum. Where does this apathy normally start from? I mean, does it start from the bottom, or does it start from the top, or can it start anywhere?
I think it starts anywhere. There's no root for it. It's just apathy toward us as individuals, whether, you know, we're seeking a new job, whether we're in the workplace, whether we're a leader or whether we're an employee, it still becomes one of just not having those core principles, those core values. The deeper your core values, the deeper your principles, the more likely you are to seek the right kind of job, to seek the right kind of management, and to be the right kind of manager is to have those core values. So when you don't have those core values, then apathy sets in and you just kind of let the boat run adrift, as they say.
That's an interesting perspective, because if it can come from anywhere, then it's really up to executive management to be able to spot this, be able to quell it. Hiring is, you know, like it's almost like putting up the barrier wall. That's your way of keeping apathy from being imported into the company. So how does a leader, you know, How do they tune their radar so that they see this apathy first? And then how do they address it without, you know, causing unnecessary friction?
Well, they have to have their own personal values. In other words, there's got to be some deep personal values, not just in the workplace, but also at home. So it starts, as they say, it starts at home. And what kind of values you have, core values you have as an individual, whether it be in the way you treat your family, your spouse, your neighborhood, your community, your state, whatever, you know, your hobby, you know, whatever your core values are, they should permeate everything that you do, both civically as well as in the workplace.
Interesting. So let's say a little bit of apathy has taken root inside of an organization, either in a department or maybe in the corporation as a whole. How does a leader rectify this? How do they begin the curing process?
It's not easy because once apathy sets in, it's just like any other bad habit, and I call apathy a bad habit. It's hard to break. And you have to do it one step at a time. First, you go about setting some critical core values, you know, whether we're going to be profitable, whether we're going to have honesty and integrity in our business acumen, whether we're going to respect people, you know, not allowing vulgar and condescending language to permeate the workplace, whether we're going to have a friendly environment where people feel at home, whether we have loyalty. We emphasize loyalty, having things like a outstanding employee of the quarter or the month or whatever, you know, just recognizing people for outstanding qualities, whether you have a good merit review program with your people, not just, you know, filling out a form, but that you actually take the time to look at your people critically and write a good summary of their performance over the past period, whatever that period is, and then reward them accordingly. So just like any other thing, you know, we talk about in our book, Tough Things First, you know, these are tough things to put in because it takes work. I'm going to be giving a talk here or teaching in class here soon, which I've titled Tough Things Aren't Free. And so the things that you want to implement, the things you want to engender in your organization are not going to be easy. You know, you have to face the fact that it's going to be tough because once apathy sets in and people get into their own routines, trying to get them to change those routines is not easy.
Well, you know, you said something that caught my attention. It was this bad habit, good habit thing. And I've noticed in life that if one can establish one small good habit that's related to other habits, it tends to cascade. For example, I knew a fellow who just was a nut about keeping his teeth clean, but he confided in me that he wasn't always like that. And he had to take that first step. Just flossing once a day, you know, was the tough thing that he kept putting off and putting off and putting off. And finally, he developed the habit of doing it every day right after lunch. And then that cascaded into just, you know, basically being a nut about the process. And so what I think I heard you say was that if this general apathy is out there, take a small, good first step, you know, break one of the smaller bad habits, and that makes it easier to break all the other bad habits.
Right. So, you know, you don't want to come in like a bull in a china shop. You want to come in with a caring, concerned view. You know, establishing a lot of hard rules, you know, kind of if you remember in the Bible, Moses went up to the Mount Sinai and the Lord wrote on with his finger on the tablets the Ten Commandments, and then he brought them down, and the people kind of were having a gay old time, dancing and having a wonderful time, and made Moses so mad he threw the tablets down and broke them, because they were breaking those commandments that they were already established. So, you know, when you talk about putting in these kind of, you know, rules and regulations and new core values, you do them in a kind and loving way, and such that the people will want to accept them. You know, just kind of moving toward, you know, what precipitates apathy is procrastination. We just keep putting off those things that we know we should do until it becomes a habit of procrastinating. And that's what how apathy sets in. You know, apathy and procrastination are kissing cousins.
And before we get to that point, and the point that I want to ask about entrepreneurs and being a little heavy-handed, you've mentioned Tough Things First a few times. I want the audience to remember that if you have not bought and read a copy of Ray's book, Tough Things First, then you're cheating yourself out of one of the best educations you can get in practical management, leadership, and entrepreneurialism. It is a great read. It's a lighthearted read, oddly enough. Normally, business books are not fun to read, but the stories that are in Tough Things First make it one of those books that you really don't want to put down when you get to the end of a chapter. So run to Amazon right away, get a copy of Tough Things First. If you haven't read it yet, it is required reading now at several universities in their business and entrepreneurship schools, and it should be required reading for you as well. But back to what we were talking about, the reaction to a toxic corporate culture. What I've seen a lot of green founders, new entrepreneurs do is they snap into crisis mode when they see something going wrong in their organization, and they tend to be rather heavy-handed about it. So tell the entrepreneurs in your audience, which make up a huge part of your audience, how to not overreact, how to take that more nuanced view in terms of curing the growing toxicity and growing apathy in their organization.
Just remember how you'd feel, you know, the old golden rule, do unto others you'd have them do unto you. Just think how have felt whenever somebody came in heavy handed and laid down the leather of the law, as you would. I had my mom do that to me a few times, overreacted, as you would. So, you know, the key here is don't overreact. In other words, people will either quit, you know, leave the company, or they just will, you know, push off what you're trying to implement. So, you know, what as they say, you get more bees with honey than you can with vinegar. So if you want them to be amenable to accepting these new rules and the new core values that you want to implement, do them in a loving way.
Well, that's good advice in not only business, but I think also in life in general. If you treat people the way that you want to be treated, you're probably going to get a much better result out of them. I wish I had learned that lesson earlier in my own life. And before we wrap this up, let's go back to your company, Micrel. I mean, you have a storied history in Silicon Valley, 37 years at the helm of a semiconductor company. You had the lowest employee turnover rate, the highest boomerang employee rate, employees who came back to the company after having left it. I have to imagine that there was a general lack of apathy inside of Micrel, and that it never developed into a toxic culture, even on the small scale within. Tell us a little bit about the culture in Micrel and how you were able to spot any toxic traits that might have been developing.
Well, because these are, you know, high principled values that we had. Honesty is number one. Integrity is number two. Integrity is doing what you should do, even when people aren't watching. And then you have respect for every individual. We didn't allow any swearing or vulgar language to be used in the company. You couldn't shout and yell, make people feel bad. And then the last was do whatever it takes, no excuses. You know, work hard, diligently, and just get the job done. And so those were the four cultures that we had that I think led to our success.
Well, and that's interesting because that last one, doing whatever it takes with inside of ethical boundaries, that that is a inverse statement about apathy. You cannot be apathetic if the goal is do whatever it takes.
Yeah. In other words, if you make a mistake, correct it. Don't just let it hope that they hide it under the rug, as they say. So, you know, these are all these four that I had that I just named are work together. I mean, they all fit. They fit like a good puzzle. And you know, you can't have one without the other. Treating everybody with respect and dignity, you know, no vulgar languages or swearing, you know, fits to the, you know, honesty and integrity aspect of it. And same thing with doing whatever it takes also requires honesty and integrity. Put in a good day's work, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, Ray, thank you for your time. And for the audience, you know, we mentioned Tough Things First, absolutely required reading for the entrepreneurs and the executives in the audience. But as you noticed, Ray has life guidance as well as business guidance. As long as you're at Amazon and buying books, grab a copy of his second book, The Zen of Zen. That's Z-E-N of Z-I-N-N. And this is an interesting book on so many different levels. First, it's written in short little sound bites, one or two paragraph each, which communicates some essence about business, about leadership, about society, about community, and about how all these things fit together. It is what I think is kind of the icing on the cake of the lessons that Ray has for people in the business world, because it helps tie everything together. It helps bring it all into one unified whole that lets you understand the interrelationship of all these different components that make a business a success or a failure. So by all means, add that to your reading list as well. So again, thank you, Ray. Always great talking with you. I look forward to the next time we can have a chat.
Well, thanks, Guy. Yeah, appreciate that. And also the promotion of our two good books that we have, Tough Things First and Zen of Zen. So thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.